Let's do it to oneself. Now, here's an interesting thing where the word humble is used with the word justify, where one becomes accepted by God. The word the just shall live by faith, which is the cry of the Reformation period. The just shall live by faith. But when you look at the context of the verse, it is talking not about being justified in the sight of God, but it's talking about how one allows God to promote you, to take vengeance on your behalf. And as we sit here in this congregation and we hear this message, we're saying, okay, we're going to humble ourselves before the Lord. But think about it. Sometimes there are many areas we don't humble ourselves before the Lord, and we are given the opportunity to allow God to do it, and the test of your Christian life is either allow God to justify you or you justify yourself. That's the key. Turn with me to the book of Habakkuk, which is one of the books that we don't really refer much to in the Old Testament among the minor prophets, Habakkuk, where the cry of the just shall live by faith is picked up by the book of Romans 1:17. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 3, it says in verse 2, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. And verse 4, behold the proud. See, there's a contrast with humility. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So the word the just shall live by faith is an exhortation to those who choose to be humble, as opposed to the proud. And part of humility is allowing God to be the one who justifies you. The one who says who is right and who is wrong. From the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, man and woman is always trying to say, I'm not the one who is wrong. You know, when God confronted Adam and Eve about partaking of the forbidden fruit, basically, he confronted Adam. And Adam was saying, not my fault, the woman you gave me. See, everyone is trying to justify themselves. And then she confronted the woman. The woman says, the serpent made me do it. And he confronted the serpent. The serpent looked around, nobody else. And got the bulk of the punishment. But the fact is, even though the serpent was ultimately the motivator, Eve was responsible, so was Adam. So they were responsible. It's almost like sometimes in these accident cases, a very wise judge comes forth. I remember there was a case in England. So there was this car that was driving along the road, and there was a junction that leads onto the main road. So this car was on the main road. By all traffic rules, when you go to a junction, you give way to the car on the main road, correct? So there was an accident because the car that is coming into the main road knocked into the car that was already on the main road. By all law, the car that hit the main car on the main road was on the wrong. But there's this English judge, and he looked at the case, he looked at the details, and then he found a few things. He checked and found that The main cow on the main road was traveling too fast. So, he says, although you have the right of way, you were traveling too fast. And although the other one does not have the right of way and should give way to you anyway, he says, and this was his judgment, it was an interesting case, and he says, you are 70% wrong and you're 30% wrong. So he portioned the blame. In the end, in any sort of situation, except in Jesus Christ, where he's perfect, we realize that the rules of right and wrong are not necessarily just resting on one person. It could be, you and I never know. It could be that maybe when things are more perfect, maybe when situations are more perfect, maybe when reactions are more perfect, maybe when timings are more perfect, things could have come out differently in your life and my life. But the main thing is this. Whether you're 70% wrong or 30% wrong or 10% wrong, here are the keys of humility. You don't worry about what other people's wrongs are. You are responsible for your own wrongs. Even if they are 5%. That's part of humility. So let's conclude with some of the qualities of this principle of humility. The quality that we brought forth to you. Firstly, humility is only concerned about how one needs to repent and humble oneself to God. Humility will not be concerned about how you or how somebody else or whoever, how near, how close, or how far away in their relationship with God. It is something that God has to deal with every one of our lives. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 21. Peter has to learn this in God. When Jesus was talking to him, and these are the words that Jesus would have to each one of us in the book of John chapter 21. And it says here, he told Peter that Peter was going to die a death in which he would have no control. And he says here in verse 18, have you found it? John 21 verse 18. Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself, walk where you wish. When you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. He's going to die a martyr's death. This he spoke signifying by what death he would glorify God. When he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Now verse 20. Peter turned around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at that supper and say, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, But Lord, what about this man? What about him? Yeah, I'm going to die for you. What about him? And this is God's answer to him and to us. Verse 22. If I will, he remain till I come. What is that to you? You follow me. Principle one, humility ceases judging everyone else. Matthew 7 verse 7, judge and you will not be judged. Romans, do not judge another man because he is not your servant, he is the Lord's servant. Every one of us relate to the Lord. One of the first principles of humility is to learn to withhold judgment. Maybe the word withhold is not strong enough. Learn to abdicate the throne of judgment. You choose not to judge other lives. Every time you judge another person, the fingers are pointing back at you. One other thing, in whatever area, small area, big area, look at the story of Numbers 12. Wasn't it judging one another? In all stories of humility versus pride and all this, pride sits on the seat of judgment. So one of the first qualities of humility is learning not to judge anyone, but to sort of surrender your right to judge, because the judge shall live by faith. You choose not to judge. Choosing not to judge is a decision. That's one of the qualities of humility. And I believe that sometimes the reason for disharmony in the body of Christ is too much pride. You put two proud people together, or bring 100 proud Christians together, you will have 100 churches out of that, because everybody has their own thinking. And it's so easy to judge one another, isn't it? It's so easy. That is why I believe why there's no revival. Look at it. In 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, what's the principle for revival? Humility. But look at the church of Christ all over the world. So much of pride. And as long as there's pride, revival cannot come. So we realize, firstly, the quality of humility is one where Jesus says, what is that to us? If God wants John to remain until he comes, so be it. In other words, Jesus was saying to Peter, mind your own business. I'll decide what I want to do, want him to do. And he was saying, do not judge him. He says, you follow me. That's the first quality of humility. Withholding judgment. So the next time you find your mind running in the area to judge another person, watch out. That is a lack of humility. And that is pride coming out. So we always have to watch ourselves and constantly afflict oneself and bring oneself low. All you and I have to be reminded is this. How much did God forgive you? How much did God forgive you and I? How merciful has the Lord been to us? You just meditate on those areas for a while, you'll be willing to forgive everyone. But it's sometimes we forgot that we have been forgiven. We forgot that we were sinners. We forgot that we were nothing. And we have been too long in Christianity until we think we are something, we are somebody, we are some gift, and we are some prophet. And we forgot that we were forgiven and given grace. Second quality, and we'll look at more the next week, but let me throw the second in, is honesty. In the book of Luke chapter 14, Luke chapter 14, and he tells a parable of in verse 7, he says, so he told a parable to those who were invited, chapter 14, verse 7, when he noted how they chose the best places to themselves. Then that's when the context of, in verse 11, whoever exalts himself will be humble, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Also chapter 18, verse 9 to 14, Luke. He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves and they were righteous, and in verse 9, despise others. If you catch your own self despising others, judging others, looking down on others, or being more righteous and holy than another person, you think that your Christianity is superior to theirs, and your holiness is greater than theirs, your sanctification is greater than theirs, your level of Christianity is so much better than theirs, watch out. Because you have lacked humility. And the Bible tells us in verse 10 to 14, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you, I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector next to me. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. The tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, beat his breast and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So, Jesus asked a question. Here's the word justified again. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For, here's the words again, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. And here's my challenge to you. You know, at the end of every day, if you are the one who journal it or just meditate, think about every day of your life as improving your walk with God. But at the end of every day, if you're honest with God, you will find things in your life that you got to repent and humble before God every day. You'll find small little things that pride comes out, anger comes out, impatience comes out, all those things that are not in line with the Word of God and the character of Christ. And we have to keep growing in Christ.